KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. After 2 decades of designing iconic costumes for many Spike Lee films, including Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X, Ruth E. Carter was offered an unexpected challenge, creating costumes for Marvel's Black Panther movies. Carter's Afrofuturist designs in the Ryan Coogler-directed superhero films would land her 2 history-making Academy Awards for Best Costume Design. We had Ryan Coogler on the show for, I think, his first or maybe second movie. Mm-hmm. And he was such a lovely young man. And he was on the cusp of getting to be huge. Mm. And it sounds like from your book that he did not lose that loveliness.
Not at all. It was refreshing because, you know, coming out of Spike Lee films, 40 Acres and a Mule is a tough introduction to the filmmaking process. So I guess once I walked into there and I knew it was Marvel, I was expecting, you know, to put the boxing gloves on and go, you know, yeah, into it. And I was having trouble opening up the images I stored in a Dropbox. And little did I know. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read that.
That would have been a good thing to like tell me ahead of time.
Yeah, so you had to get like somebody else's laptop, right?
Yeah, yeah. But Ryan is sitting across from me just as calm as ever. He's watching me kind of cycle through, you know, panicking over my laptop and trying to multitask and answer questions. And then he said, you know, I'm really glad you're here. You know, I grew up watching your movies. And I remember going to see Malcolm X with my dad, and it was a mm-hmm. big family experience in the theater. I sat on my dad's lap, and he says, I remember the costumes as a kid. I remember the costumes. And that really made me feel good. I feel really relaxed after that. And Nate Moore, who was also in the room, went and got his laptop and, I don't know, put the secret code in. And I was able to sort of share my images from Nate's computer.
Yes. I mean, that is an amazing feeling. I would think that this guy, you know, can remember that, and so validating, right? Like amazing that he remembered the costumes from Malcolm X when he was a little boy.
Yeah. I felt like I had interviewed for the job back then.
Yeah. You didn't even know when they first, I wonder when they first came to you with this idea of doing a Marvel movie. Did you think, like, do I want to do this? Like, the scope of it is huge, but it's also just an incredibly controlled environment, as people know, you know, the way that Marvel movies get made.
Well, they had never done a movie like this before, so they had no way of, like, really dictating, like, the control that they normally do on other films. So this was building the world of Wakanda. This is more costumes, I think, than they had ever really produced. We believed in the vision that Ryan had for the film and were very much following his lead as far as the aesthetics go. And I think that Marvel really wanted the input of a costume designer that could build a world. And the world is so big that, you know, we need everybody's input. And hundreds of illustrations are submitted and we're all looking at them together. So it's a collaborative effort. I mean, the head of Marvel's on the same Zoom as I am, and VFX and assistants and director, and they're excited and they really want to see you come to light as an artist. I remember having a show and tell with the pattern that we were creating for the Panther suit, and I built one limb, the arm of the Panther suit, and with the musculature and everything on a stand, and we covered it with the black fabric of the Panther suit, but we also printed the surface Okavango triangle in different sizes, you know, and we brought it to the meeting in the middle of the conference table. We had 4 arms covered in a black, you know, duvetine. And so they came in and everyone was excited about the show and tell. So, you know, we're really loving filmmaking and we're loving the process of everyone's part. So I just embrace that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of your work has been about the Black experience and trying to lift perceptions and realities. And that's where you specialize almost, I would say.
Thank you.
And there was a big drama about doing Black Panther just on the corporate level. You know, the Ike Perlmutter, the head of Marvel at that time, didn't want to do it. And that is when I think Kevin Feige won that battle and didn't have to report to Ike Perlmutter anymore and reported directly, I think, to Bob Iger, or maybe to Alan Horn and then Bob Iger. But really Bob Iger, I would think. So when you were doing this film in this very different setting, I'm assuming you understood and all felt, you know, the importance of that film, Black Panther, to the Black community.
I did. I think it went bigger and broader than understanding the importance of the Black Panther to the Black community. I think it was also understanding the African diaspora, the Black American diaspora, and that we have a history that didn't start with slavery, that Africa isn't one monolithic place, that there were several tribes that, you know, make up this fictitious place called Wakanda, and that we could explore the history of Africa as well as the history of ourselves, the lost tribe, as it's called in the film, in a way that would shed light to everyone, to the world, about our position here and also about what things would be like in a fantasy world, in this Afro-future world, if they were not colonized, if we were not colonized, what would life in Africa be like? So that became more of the story to build than actually the Black Panther, because Black Panther was known in the comics. And as I reviewed the comics, you get these little boxes and you see these pictures of Wakanda, and you see there's a Maasai warrior there. There's Adora Milaje. There's all of these small little images of this melting pot of Africa. But it also opened up an opportunity for me to explore it on a bigger scale and really take the concept and bring a bigger part of that concept to life.
Yes, that was a very big deal. There was something you said in the book that I wondered about. You talk at one point about how preparation is really important, but I was trying to think, preparation, it sounded like so early, like before the cameras are rolling, that you must be prepared. And I just wanted you to expand on that a bit. Prepared in what way?
Well, you know, you rarely see me on set for very long. Once the camera rolls on a costume, I'm off to the office again to work towards the other things that are coming up in the future. And so a lot of that gets started in our prep time, where you really do have to think, well, what if this costume doesn't work? What else can we do? What other kind of ideas should we develop to a point? And so I'm always juggling that, because once the camera's, you know, rolling, you don't have a lot of time to play around with ideas or develop ideas. And sometimes the best ideas are the worst ideas. So you have to pivot. And that pivot time really does rely on how prepared you were in the case where that might happen.
Yes. Is there a moment that you remember as the biggest panic from your career?
Well, yeah. The Panther suit, every time Chadwick wore it, he would blow the pants.
Like the seat of the pants, I think?
He would blow the seat of the pants. We had to actually have a special cutter come in from the Boston Ballet who could put the gussets in so that he would have the freedom of movement that we needed. And also the thinness of the fabric I chose. I wanted to be able to see like the vibranium muscles through the fabric, and it was a little thin. So that was called our beauty suit from that day on. And then we reprinted another suit to make it a tough suit with the gussets.
Yeah, I think they said that Chadwick, it took two people to get him into the Black Panther costume. And yeah, he was in this costume and he's like, I can barely breathe through my nose and I can't move my arms very well.
Yeah, Well, that was the first suit. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because they had to make it really fast. It was the Panther was added to Captain America Civil War kind of at the last minute. So they made it really fast. Once I got it, it needed to have a few tweaks to the costume. But him putting that costume on in my office during prep was majestic. It was incredible. He was stretching and moving, making his karate stances and things. And my mouth was on the floor. I just was like, wow, this is something these superhero suits, they really do transform. But then he said, yeah, but this helmet smashes my nose. I can't breathe. And I can't really lift my arm above my elbow. So I was like, well, that's got to change.
Right. It's a very bittersweet memory now, I guess.
Such beautiful memories, though, of him.
Well, what an amazing career. Let me do this. Ruth E. Carter is a 2-time Academy Award-winning costume designer. Her book, The Art of Ruth E. Carter, is available now. Thank you so much for telling us all these great stories.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program with help this week from John Meek, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.